Gillette's Best Blades can save you up to 50% versus the other Shave Club's $9 per month plan. That's right, close, comfortable, smooth, and up to 50% off versus the other Shave Club. Join today at GilletteShaveClub.ca.
Shots in this second OT, 6-4 in favor of the Marlins. Foran trying to add the Express total. It's in! Wow! That's a goal! A delayed goal, and Reese Foran has done it again! And for the first time in 12 years, the York Simcoe Express are OHL Cup champions! What a weird finish to this one! Wow!
Welcome to Junior, Sportsnet CHL Podcast with your host, Jeff Merrick.
Welcome once again to Junior, your weekly CHL podcast. I'm Jeff Merrick alongside producer Sam McKee. We have an action-packed playoff preview show for you. Joey Kenward will be here breaking down the Western Hockey League. We will talk to Jonathan Briggins, who writes at Sportsnet.ca, covering off the QMJHL. Nate Sager, our good friend from Sportsnet.ca as well, breaking down all the action in the Ontario Hockey League. In the meantime, we'll kick off the program as we do each and every week with our lead analyst on Sportsnet. Kick off each and every podcast with our good friend Sam Cosentino, lead analyst for the CHL on Sportsnet. And should we point out as well the OHL Cup, Sam, on Sportsnet as well. Great job with RJ yesterday. The York Simcoe Express defeating the Toronto Marlboros in double overtime. Reese Foran with the double OT winner. YSE take down the Marlboros, who are looking for the third in a row by a final score of 2-1. What did you make of yesterday's game?
Well, you know what, I think it's good for minor hockey in the area. I mean, so often everyone gets focused on the GTHL and what happens in the GTHL. So I think it's good in the grand scheme of things for minor hockey in Ontario, because you have an OMHA team that can come in and win the title. And it makes it okay for players to stay in Barrie and Hamilton and in York Simcoe, as opposed to maybe relocating or moving or having so badly to find that GTHL team that will take them. So in the grand scheme of things, I think it's wonderful for minor hockey in Ontario. And it's also kind of a cool thing, because the Marlies are there all the time. They're expected to win. And those expectations make it sometimes difficult on the kids. But by the same token, it's nice to see someone else win for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, Marlies are a juggernaut. I mean, they've been there the last 10 seasons. I mean, that's stunning. They've been in the final 10 seasons in a row, Sam.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they, you know, they do such a good job drawing the top players. You know, they have coaching staffs that are put kids on the right path to go and play in the Ontario Hockey League or get the most out of their skill set. So it does make sense that, you know, it's a coveted team for anyone to play on, and it's no different this year. And they just happen to come out on the losing end this time around.
All right, to the CHL playoffs. We'll let you throw the first dart here, Sam. Whether it's in the Q, whether it's in the O, whether it's in the Dub, which playoff series holds the most interest for Sam Cosentino?
Well, I'm going to wide brush here, and I'm going to go to the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not all that interested in what happens in round one, but I'll be really excited once we get into round two. I don't feel that there's going to be any major upsets through the first five teams in round one of the QMJHL playoffs with that 1-16 format. But I do see, once we get to round two, that unfortunately a couple of good teams are going to have to go home. You know, every year provides its storylines, and it's going to be no different in the Q. You'll probably get one upset, in round one. But for the most part, things should hold true to form, and things will start to get interesting in Quebec, once we get into round number two.
Rimouski and Charlottetown, is that would you consider it an upset of Charlottetown won?
Not really. And that's one of those series where it wouldn't surprise me if either team won. I think Serge Beausoleil does a really good job in Rimouski getting the most out of his guys, but they're still a pretty young group, and they've rebounded from last year going all the way to the championship and winning the championship. So the expectations are probably a little bit less this year than what they may have been, but I still think the future is very bright there. And for Charlottetown, you know, getting Sprong back as late as they did was kind of a mirage. And so that's a franchise that really needs to take advantage of the opportunity of having him, because there's no chance they'll have him back next year. So I think it is a more important series for Charlottetown than it is for Rimouski, but that's one of those series where I think it's going to be difficult to pick a winner.
Picking winners is going to be tough out west for a couple of the series as well, and maybe for the MasterCard Memorial Cup hosts as well. The Red Deer Rebels, without Connor Bleakley, he's gone for the season. They face off against the Calgary Hitmen, and take your pick. You know, Travis Sanheim and Jake Bean, go right down the list. It's a Calgary Hitmen team that we probably haven't talked enough about this season, but may just give the Red Deer Rebels some fits here.
Well, and I agree with you. And again, I'll bring it back. I'll bring the focus back out a little bit. I mean, imagine trying to get through the Eastern Conference coming out of the Central Division. And you'll use Red Deer as the example. Yes, they'll play Calgary. Yes, they'll be the home team in that series. I believe is that my I think I'm right there with Red Deer being the home team there. Okay, so now if you do get through Calgary, which is going to be a tough task as it is, as you mentioned, you're likely going to have to play Lethbridge in round two. So imagine having to go up that team. Just say, okay, it works out that way, and they get through Lethbridge. What's likely going to happen in round three is that they'll have to play Brandon. I mean, that is a difficult role to take through the front door. That's going to be a real challenge for Brent Sutter and his hockey club, and obviously it starts with round one. The one thing that does worry me is that there's just going to be an immense amount of pressure on Red Deer to win, just starting from series number one. And that pressure can sometimes work against you, and I'm really, really concerned about that. It's not that I don't think Red Deer has the team. I think they're very capable, even without Bleakley in the lineup. It's a loss that I think they'll be able to absorb as much as he does bring to the table. But I do think, Jeff, that road to go through the front door for Red Deer is going to be really, really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Who's the class of the Western League for you? If I can isolate a few teams here, we've talked a lot about the Seattle Thunderbirds. The Victoria Royals is a juggernaut. We've had them on plenty on the CHL on Sportsnet. The Brandon Wheat Kings have really hit their stride. Would those be the top three teams for you, Sam Cosentino, as you look at this year's playoffs and who's going to win the Edmonton Elk Cup?
I'd have to think so. I think I have to put Brandon at the top of the list, Jeff. Those are expectations that after they lost and were swept out last year by Kelowna, that immediately the expectations for this year were placed upon them, and rightfully so. So I think the expectations going back to last year, I think they're the class of this thing, just going in the way they've played here, the last month and a half. But then you go out west, and Seattle's a team that just doesn't get a lot of the hype that it probably deserves up here. But I've been saying for a couple of years, Jeff, that the 97 core group that they have is a really, really good group. I haven't looked down the roster to see where they're at health-wise, but if they do have everyone and they start to fire, with their size, they'll probably get some good crowds in Seattle for the home games. They're going to be a team that's really difficult to beat. And then you look at Victoria, I mean, Dave Lowry's tried to sell us all year that it's an overachieving team, yet they've been number one in the league for most of the year. So I think you have to remove that overachiever tag and think that they play as about a good a team game as maybe anyone in the Canadian Hockey League. So how can you count Victoria out of this thing? Kelowna has experience on its side. They got back to 100 points again this year. I mean, it's tough sledding out there in the West, but I think the number of top-end teams in the West is fewer than the number of top-tier teams in the East this year.
Mm-hmm. When we shift our focus from the Western Hockey League, Sam, to the Ontario Hockey League, the Midwest is front and center. I mean, that is the class of the OHL, whether it's the Erie Otters or the Kitchener Rangers or the London Knights. Erie faces off against Saginaw. London faces off against Owen Sound. But maybe the most interesting first-round matchup for any of those juggernaut Midwest teams, the Kitchener Rangers taking on the Windsor Spitfires. We expect Windsor to peak next season. They'll probably host a MasterCard Memorial Cup as well. What do you look for? We've got the game on Thursday. Kitchener Rangers, Windsor Spitfires.
Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for Windsor. You know, they they battled middle of February. They were in position where they were leading the West Division. That would have given them the number two seed and would have given them Sault Ste. Marie as opposed to Sarnia in that series. And so there was some disappointment in finishing fifth. Having said that, they might have won the luck of the draw here, Jeff, because Kitchener's playing without Frank Hora. I think Sergeyev's out of lineup. Brosnan's out of line. That's three of their top defenders. And Garifa on the back end, Elijah Roberts on the back end are going to have to eat the minutes that were spread out by those three guys. That's really difficult for two first-year guys in the league. So I think it's a situation that Windsor can really take advantage of. Having said that, you know, Luke Opelka hasn't been great here down the stretch for Kitchener, so that's going to be troublesome. What's going to happen in goal with Windsor? Is it going to be Kalina? Is it going to be DiPietro? How are the draft-eligible guys going to respond? They all look to me, you know, the three top-end guys, like they're high-end competitors. And for me, knowing that this is an opportunity to beat a higher-seeded team, extend your season, and get more looks from scouts, I don't know. I wouldn't exactly call it an upset if Windsor wins based just simply on injuries that the Kitchener has. Now, if Kitchener had all its guys healthy, then I would deem Windsor winning this series an upset. But as it currently stands, I don't see it as an upset. And then again, hey, it's a 4-5 series. So obviously the teams are bunched together and they're pretty close for a reason. So it should be a fascinating series. It's difficult now for the situation that Kitchener finds itself in with the injuries, and it's a golden opportunity for the draft eligibles to step up, extend their season in Windsor.
And what do you look for in the East? I mean, the Kingston Frontenacs, I mean, the class of the Eastern Conference, the Barry Colts right there, they can score in bunches. Their story's been well told. The Niagara Ice Dogs, we talk about every week, Sam, they should be there, but it's a bizarre team. And the Ottawa 67s even have played some good hockey down the stretch. Dan Butler's North Bay Battalion, that's always a tough team to face off in the playoffs. Who do you like in the East?
Oh, I think it's going to come down to Kitchener and Barry. I really do. North Bay's always going to have a say in things just because they're a team, the way they play, their style of game is really suited to playoff hockey, especially with their size and their ability to skate, and they've got Amadio's on fire right now. And so they may have something to say about it. But I'm hard-pressed not to see Kingston play for an Eastern Conference title here. I just look at their club from top to bottom, whether it's Helviger, Parisini, and goal. You know, they have the opportunity to switch out to either guy and still have some success in that regard. Their defense is maybe as good as any in the league. You know, if Billetier, getting back in the lineup a month and a half ago has really helped solidify things. Duchesne is an undervalued guy. Roland McCune has turned his game around to become more maybe of a defensive defenseman than what anyone expected. You got DeRocher with MasterCard Memorial Cup experience. So they're really good on the back. And up front, I mean, if those two top lines are going and they get that secondary scoring, I have a hard time seeing them not play for an Eastern Conference title. And then you look at Barry. Barry can fill the net. They need Mackenzie Blackwood to play well because they are a little risk-taking in their ventures, if you will. But with their ability to score goals, I think Barry is also suited to get into the Eastern Conference final, likely against Kingston. That's how I see it playing out there. But wouldn't surprise me if North Bay was back there once again.
I don't think it would shock anyone. We started by talking about the Q, Sam. We'll finish up talking about the Q. We talk about the heavyweights, you know, the Huskies and the Cataracts. We talk about plenty, and we've talked plenty about Gatineau. But do you think we should be giving some love to St. John here? Is there one, I don't want to call St. John an underdog as much as I want to call them a dark horse. Would St. John be the could you make the best case for St. John being the biggest dark horse in the Q?
Yeah, I think that's a real good good statement there, Jeff. I just look at St. John, you know, their back end, Luke Grin and Chabot locking things down in the back, and they seem to have firepower that's more balanced up front. But, man, that Joseph, I just love him. Joe Valeno has turned into a wonderful player here as an exceptional status guy. There are so many things to like about Danny Flynn and his experience. So I think to say that they're an underdog, you're right, that's probably a bit much. Hey, they win their division in the Maritimes, but they've played really well here. Same thing as Brandon the last month and a half, and I think they're starting to fulfill the expectations that many people, including myself, put on them at the start of the season. So I think St. John is in a position here to do some damage as the team least talked about, maybe in that top five of the Q playoffs.
The best time of the season is about to begin. Sam, we'll watch for you on Thursday with RJ as the Kitchener Rangers face off against the Windsor Spitfires. Thanks, Sammy.
All right, Jeff. Great to be on again.
As we head west, pleased to be joined by WHL broadcaster and good friend here of the podcast, Joey Kenward. How are you today, Joey?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
Good. As we tape this, there is still a tiebreaker to determine the eighth spot who will face off against the Brandon Wheat Kings. Not sure whether it's going to be Medicine Hat, not sure whether it's going to be the Edmonton Oil Kings. But if we can start with the Brandon Wheat Kings, it seemed as if, I want to say late January, early February, this team really turned a page and became the Brandon Wheat Kings we thought that they would be at the beginning of the season, i.e. the team that would go wire to wire as a top team in the CHL. As you look at the Western Hockey League right now, are they the team to beat?
On paper, I'd say yes. But once you play the games and you know anything can happen in junior hockey, it could be some real, real long roads to hoe for Kelly McCrimmon's crew. The big thing that Brandon's got going for them right now is they seem to have all hands on deck pulling that rope in the same direction. They were, without question, the hottest team in the WHL's Eastern Conference going into the playoffs after a second straight Eastern title. 48 wins, that's the second highest of any team in the Western Hockey League. And they also had the second best road record in the WHL. But Jeff, they hadn't lost a game in regulation in their final 13 going into the postseason. Mm-hmm. They're very deep up and down their lineup. They're getting spread out scoring from their forwards. They're getting big offensive production and solid defensive play in their own end of the rink. And they've got a pretty established good number one goaltender between the pipes. No matter whether it's Medicine Hat or Edmonton that wins the tiebreaker, they're going to have their hands full with the Wheaties.
Meanwhile, the Regina Pats find themselves in the playoffs in back-to-back years, so good things happening right now with the Pats. They face off against Lethbridge, and in a lot of ways, Joey, the story of Lethbridge has been health more than anything else. These guys haven't been dinged up and have found themselves, you know, flirting with the top 10 week in, week out in the CHL. What do you look for in Lethbridge and Regina?
Well, these are two teams that seem to be destined for a series that could go a lot longer than some people think. You know, you've got Lethbridge, and you talked about the health factor. That was a big reason why they were able to have such a huge turnaround from worst to first. They were the top team in the Central Division. They had the best home ice record in the Eastern Conference, and they had the best power play totals overall in the WHL. But what this team doesn't have is playoff experience. You know, they haven't been in the WHL postseason, Jeff, since 2009. But they've got a ton of firepower up front, led by the league's leading assist man in Braden Burke. Tyler Wong was 10th overall in scoring, and he was the fourth highest goal scorer in the league. And they're going to be, I think, put up by a pretty good Regina Pats team who, as you mentioned, in their second straight playoff year, played in a lot of one-goal games. Half of their games this year, victories that were in one-goal fashion. So they're a hockey team, and when you never want to count out a team that has the WHL's leading scorer in it, and it came from Regina this year in overager Adam Brooks, who put up a whopping 120 points. They've also got a pretty good other sniper that they added in at the trade deadline in veteran Cole Sanford. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Lethbridge, a team that seemed to be clicking the right way all year, how they handle a playoff team like Regina, who made it to the second round last year.
And Sam Steele has been heating up as well, going back to February, where he's been a point-a-game guy. So curious to see what happens there. Prince Albert faces off against the Moose Jaw Warriors. You mentioned not counting a team out that has a top scorer in the Western Hockey League. How about a team that has Dryden Hunt and Braden Point on it?
Boy, this could be Moose Jaw's year to really turn some heads if they haven't done so already. Now, this is the first time, like Lethbridge, that a club is going into the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Moose Jaw hasn't been in the postseason since 2012, when they made it all the way to the East Final, eventually losing to the league and Memorial Cup winner that year, the Edmonton Oil Kings. And by the way, back then, Braden Point, one of the purest scorers and best all-around players in the WHL, played in the playoffs that year as a 15-year-old. But Dryden Hunt, who led the league in goals this year with 58, scored almost 24% of Moose Jaw's total goals this year. And I think if Braden Point had been healthy and played wire-to-wire this year, he probably would have had more goals than his teammate. In just 48 games, Point had 35 goals and 53 assists. So this is a team that's built on those two offensive juggernauts to go head-to-head. But don't count out the Prince Albert Raiders. They had the second-best home ice record in the Eastern Conference this year behind Brandon. And although they didn't necessarily have a great goal differential, they spread out their scoring, and they had pretty good offensive performances from their top players like Reed Gardner and Simon Stransky. This is not going to be a quick series at all. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's the one of two, if not three, series league-wide that's decided in the seventh and final game.
Gotta love a good Sasky series. Now, here's an interesting one. The Red Deer Rebels facing off against the Calgary Hitmen, and bad news coming earlier this week where Connor Bleakley confirmed due to wrist surgery, he is gone for the entire season, unsigned by Colorado, traded, probably be unsigned, go back into the draft. But for the purposes of this conversation, what are you looking for between the team that will host the MasterCard Memorial Cup and the Calgary Hitmen?
Well, on paper, one of these teams that is definitely an Eastern Conference and WHL championship contender will be on the outside looking in after the first round is done. This might be the best matchup on paper out of any first-round playoff series, not just in the WHL, Jeff, Canadian Hockey League-wide. These are two teams that were pretty much even Steven throughout the course of the year. Calgary won four of the seven meetings, but the Hitmen lost the final three of those, or three of the final four. So they're a hockey team that I don't think you can count them out. They won seven of their last 10 going into the postseason. They had the league's top power play goal scorer on their roster this year in Jacob Stuckel, who had 17 in total. They had the highest scoring defenseman in the league and probably the player that will be the highest NHL draft pick out of the WHL this summer in Jake Bean. They're a hockey team that I think is poised to knock off the Memorial Cup host. And that's something in the Western Hockey League that's only happened twice in the last 15 to 20 years. Saskatoon, the last Memorial Cup host, lost in round one of the WHL playoffs in 2012. But Red Deer is a team that will be very, very difficult for Calgary to handle. They went in on a real roll into the postseason, winning eight of their last 10. They've got definite firepower that they loaded up with in the trade deadline, and Adam Holuka and Jake DeBrusk coming over from Spokane and Swift Current, respectively. The one big question mark, you mentioned Connor Bleakley out indefinitely. They've also got a big question mark in net because Ryland Toth, who had been their number one goaltender, went down with injury in the final month. Trevor Martin came in and, by all accounts, has taken the ball and run with it very nicely.
Yeah, he's been
with
good.
An 18-8-1-1 record and has the best or the eighth best goals against average in the WHL. This is going to be painful for one of these two teams to lose in round one, because if it was any other given year, they very well could be a team that vies for a chance to win the Ed Chenault Cup. So, you know, Red Deer's going to be at the Memorial Cup as hosts, but I think talking to Brent Sutter, he will do everything in his power to make sure that he's not going to let his team get there through the back door. It's not going to be easy taking on the Hitmen.
They want to go through the front, clearly. To the west, the Victoria Royals, who have been a juggernaut team all season long, face off against the Spokane Chiefs. We'll hear a lot about Kyler Yamamoto come next season for the NHL draft. They're in the playoffs. Expect Spokane to be a really good team next year. Is this the playoffs where they're just trying to get a little bit of playing time? Because I don't see too many teams derailing Victoria anytime soon.
No, probably not. Although the one thing the Chiefs can say is that they played Victoria pretty well over the course of the regular season, went 2-2 against the top team in the Western Hockey League. But yeah, Spokane, which on paper is one of the youngest in major junior hockey, they're going to have their hands full against the Victoria Royals, who claim their first ever Scotty Munro Trophy as regular season champs with 50 wins and 106 points. And like Brandon, they went into the playoffs on a real tear. Not one regulation loss in their last 14 straight games. Everybody knows in junior hockey circles about Joe Hicketts, what kind of great defenseman he is in both ends of the ice. And having performed at the World Junior Championships, you know he's ready to go out on a real high in the Western Hockey League. Alex Forsberg, their veteran, finished off the year with 91 points. That's a pretty good jump from what he had last year with 58. But Matthew Phillips, to me, is the one player out of anybody I'm really looking forward to watching in his first ever taste of major junior postseason action. Led all WHL rookies in goals with 37. All WHL first years in points with 76. He also led the league in rookies in game-winning goals in 10. He's one of the most dynamic players in the WHL. And we're talking about a rookie on a team that won the league championship. He's going to be fun to watch, as is their goaltender. And overager Coleman Volrath had a year to remember with the third highest win totals and goals against average. This is going to be a tough, tough team for the Spokane Chiefs to upset in round one.
And if it's not going to be Volrath, Griffin Outhouse, the backup has been outstanding for Dave Lowry's squad.
Absolutely.
As well. Seattle against Prince George is interesting. Seattle plays a big, strong, heavy game, but they're not shy about trading chances. And the Prince George Cougars, who may be the toughest team in the entire Western Hockey League, they like that big, strong, physical. They were kind of like Victoria was last year. They'll face off in a 2-7. I see Seattle winning it. I may even see Seattle winning, you know, the Ed Chynoweth Cup. That's how highly I think of the Seattle Thunderbirds. But when you look at Seattle and PG, what goes through your mind?
Physical brand of hockey that whichever team gets through it is going to have a ton of ice packs throughout their locker room to heal some of the bumps and bruises. Seattle had one of their best years in franchise history and entered the postseason winning 13 of their last 14. They had the best home ice record in the WHL with 29 wins. They had the number one penalty kill in the WHL. They've got one of the purest goal scorers in the league and New York Islanders first round draft pick Matthew Barzell, who finished tied 11th in WHL scoring. Remember, he missed time playing away at the World Juniors. Their big trade deadline acquisition proved to be very important down the stretch to win the division title, and that's goaltender Landon Beau. The 20-year-old finished with 25 wins. He led the league in shutouts with 7, and he had the second-best save percentage in the league. Now, you know the Prince George Cougars, a team that's been on the rise over the past few years after going through an ownership and management change. They would love to be able to be an upset team here, but they are going to have their hands full with the Thunderbirds. They're always difficult to play at home, the Cougars are, but when you mention they were one of the most, in fact, the most penalized team in the WHL, they're going to have to do whatever they can to stay out of the box and stay at even strength hockey against the Thunderbirds. But they've got some guys that have put up big numbers this year in forwards, Chase Watala, Jesse Gabriel, and Winnipeg Jets draft pick Jansen Harkins. That's going to be a fun series to watch. I would think Seattle is the favorite, but it's not going to be easy for them to get into round two.
Kelowna against Kamloops is a fascinating one as well. And when you look at the absence of Nick Merkley, Arizona first-round draft pick last year, Jackson Whistle, the netminder, a really young defense. I mean, as you know, Joy, this is, you know, there's a lot of 17-year-olds on this blue line. Do we smell upset here? Can we see the Blazers knocking off the Rockets?
Well, the Rockets won 5 of the 8 meetings, but the Blazers won the last 3 and did so in convincing fashion, I might add. And the one thing that Kamloops has going for them is that for the first time in, I think, 5 or 6 years, they actually beat the Rockets in their own building in Kelowna. Now, you mentioned the injury situation and key veteran players that aren't in the mix, being goalie Jackson Whistle and first-round NHL draft pick Nick Merkley, but Kelowna's still got a ton of talent, and they're so good at their own rink. They won 27 times at home this year, which was the second highest in the league. Tyson Bailey was on fire in the first half of the year, cooled off a little bit, but still pretty admirable to be a 95-point man in the WHL to wind down his career. Rourke Chartier, who didn't have a full healthy season to play for Kelowna, still put up good numbers when he was there in 42 games. He had 25 goals and 21 helpers. And remember, last year helping the Rockets to a league title and an appearance in the Memorial Cup, he put up 20 points in the postseason. There is a ton of pressure on their so-called backup goaltender, though, and Michael Herringer, who's had to come in and take the ball to run with it in Whistle's absence, had 26 victories, but a save percentage hovering around 90. And now that the Blazers have put some wins up against him, he's going to have to be really dialed in, especially on the road, if he wants to give his team a chance to win away from the Okanagan. On the other side of things, the most valuable player for the Blazers has been their number one goaltender. And arguably, if you're talking about a player who might be the most valuable to his team in the Western Hockey League, you could put up a good argument for Connor Ingram. The 19-year-old had the second highest wins out of any WHL puck stopper this year, 34 of them in 64 games. He was excellent down the stretch to have the team get out of a wild card spot and into the third spot in the BC division. This is also a team that's balanced out their scoring. They've got some guys that can provide offense in the likes of Colin Shirley and Gage Quinney and Devin Sidorov. Quinney will be an interesting player to watch in this series, Jeff, because he was traded as part of that Leon Draisaitl move last year from Prince Albert to Kelowna. And he had a real good postseason last year for the Rockets, who had to figure out their overage situation, put him to Kamloops. I'm sure he'd be grinning ear to ear going into this series, taking on his former team in the playoffs, and would love nothing more than to help Kamloops get a long-awaited postseason victory. And if they could do it against their arch-division rivals, that would make it more sweet. But I would think Kelowna, just based on their experience and their scoring, I'd probably give them the edge on paper going into the series.
There will indeed. Always looking for the game within a game. The Everett Silvertips, the Portland Winterhawks, we've got about 90 seconds. We'll conclude on this one. Are all eyes on Carter Hart, netminder for the Everett Silvertips, number one in Western Hockey League wins, second in games played with 63.
Assuming he starts the series, yes, absolutely, because their backup, Mario Petit, played the final few games, and Hart wasn't even on the bench as a backup. So that's something to watch for from a distance for Kevin Constantine's club. They don't score a lot of goals, but they've never been a team that's known as an offensive juggernaut. They had the lowest goals for total of any team that's made the WHL playoffs, but they allowed the second fewest goals against of any team in the West. This is going to be tough sledding for Portland to try to continue on. They've been a good postseason team the past number of years, but they didn't score a ton of goals this year. They do have some firepower. Dominic Turgeon, Richards Bucharts have been their leading gunners up front with 30 goals or more apiece. And it's going to be a goalie battle, not only if Hart's healthy, but Aiden Hill, who played more games than any other goaltender this year in the Western Hockey League, with 65. This could be a goaltender's duel for two teams that don't provide a huge amount of offense. This could be one that maybe goes a little bit longer than some people think.
We shall stand by to find out. Joey, you are always gold. We thank you for your input this week once again. And enjoy the tiebreaker tonight. I know you'll be glued to it. And we'll talk at you somewhere down the road.
Sounds good. Always a treat to talk major junior hockey with you, Jeff. And be sure to do it again as the spring rolls along.
That's WHL analyst Joey Kenward. When we come back, we're going to get on the Q page and the OHL page. Stay tuned as our CHL playoff preview continues on Junior.
Change. They got to hurry. Here's Marner coming in. Back to Dvorak. He scores. Awesome.
That's
just awesome.
Sitting in the bar. Old man Johnson.
Welcome back to Junior, our CHL playoff preview, being joined now by Jonathan Briggins, our good friend from Sportsnet.ca. Jonathan, the Q still has that old school, one plays 16, two plays 15. So the first round, generally, as you well know, isn't very eventful. But when it is shocking, it's quite shocking because upsets should not happen. Having said that, can you see any upsets in the first round, Jonathan?
Looking at it again this year, I think it's just going to be more of the same. I was looking back at the past 4 years that the 15th or 16th seed team has only won a total of one game in all the series. So, and I mean, Drummondville and Sherbrooke, they don't look like they can take on Shawinigan or Rouyn-Noranda this year.
Yeah. What about Blainville-Boisbriand? Any shot against Val-d'Or? That's another powerhouse team in the queue.
Yeah, I was looking at that one. There's a chance that it might not be a sweep. That's kind of how I would put it. You know, they've got some decent goaltending, but, I mean, they're a team that looks completely different from last year. They lost a couple 100-point overagers. They've got some solid goaltending, but, I mean, they're a team that they were upset by Gatineau last year, and I don't really see how they could bounce back in the playoffs this year. Although with Val-d'Or, they're without Richard for at least the beginning of the series. So, and Julien Gauthier has kind of cooled off after being so hot all season. So there are a few little hiccups there for Val-d'Or, but I think they should be able to pull through in the first round.
You know, we've talked a lot this year, and we've seen Gatineau plenty, these Olympiques, on the CHL on Sportsnet. And when you look at them, they're big, they're strong, they're skilled. Sure, the goaltenders are young. I get that. But they play a style that very much protects them. We've sort of made the point that this is a playoff-built team. This looks like a team that is built for the postseason. I know Rouen is outstanding. You know, Valdor has challenges, still a great squad there. Shawinigan is excellent. St. John could make some noise as well. But when you look at Gatineau, do you look at yourself and say, that may be the best playoff team in the queue these playoffs?
Yeah, I feel like looking at the schedule, they're the one team I would not want to face at all. And I mean, they were playing good defensively all season, but it was just over the last few weeks of the season, they just really ramped it up and started scoring. And I don't know, they're going to be hard to you know, squeak any series wins against.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge for the Quebec Ramparts in the opening round, a very young and retooling Quebec Ramparts after their run last year hosting the MasterCard Memorial Cup. What about Cape Breton? They open up against Chicoutimi, and they'll be without the services of Pierre-Luc Dubois for a game for the Luke Green incident. Where are you at on the Screaming Eagles? Because the top six really does look spectacular there.
Yeah, well, I think they should be pretty competitive against Chicoutimi in the first round, at least. And I mean, adding Jolie at the over the trading period, he really brought more secondary scoring depth to that team. And I know they kind of broke up that top line of Svechnikov, Lazarev, and Dubois. But it seems like whoever they put in that top six, they can score. So, you know, I think they're a team that kind of underachieved the first part of the season, and they looked pretty good down the stretch, and they enter the playoffs on a 7-game winning streak. So I think that's kind of been the trend in the entire Maritimes division. Well, the top couple teams with St. John, Cape Breton, Charlottetown, they all were so slow out of the gate and underperforming. And I think all three of those teams have the potential to go deep in the playoffs this year.
Any love for Moncton through all of this? They open up against Victoriaville. Where are you at on the Wildcats?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't give them any love coming into the season. I thought losing Barbashev was going to be too big of a blow. And then, you know, Garland came out and put up a bajillion points again this season. It's so hard to know if it'll be the team we saw at the beginning of the year or that cold team that dropped all the games in a row. I feel like whenever I count them out, they do well, and when I think they're going to do okay, they do bad. So I just have no idea with them.
It's interesting when you look at the Wildcats indeed. When you, we'll end up on this one, Jonathan. When you look at the, not just the opening round, but the playoffs in general in the QMJHL, where's the most pressure? Like, which team has the highest expectation?
I feel like Shawinigan has to have the most pressure. I mean, they made so many trades, bringing in Timoshov, Moynihan, Gagne, Fitzgerald, all those guys. And then with the coach firing in February, while they were still in second place, I think that kind of sent the message, you know, you better win this thing. So I think the other thing with Shawinigan, they were upset by the Mooseheads last year. Like that was a series where I thought I saw all the games and I thought Shawinigan were the better team. They just we're up against a red-hot Ehlers and Meyer. But I think that left a little bit of a sting last season, and there's so many guys returning from that team. I think they'll be plenty motivated to win it all this year.
Yeah, they went all in, as did Rouen, Valdor, and Gatineau made some big moves as well when you think of Nicholas Meloche and the other trades of that ilk. Jonathan, always a pleasure. We'll check in regular over the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Good talking to you, Jeff.
From the QMJHL with Jonathan Briggins, we turn our attention to the Ontario Hockey League with Nate Seger of Sportsnet.ca. Nate, when you look around, the opening round in the Q, seldom, if ever, and the real answer is never, brings with it upsets. The opening round of the OHL, does it hold any excitement for you this time around outside of maybe Kitchener-Windsor, where we may see an upset?
Yeah, I think there's always a little bit of excitement there. I mean, the fact that Kingston might win a round for the first time since Seinfeld was still on the air has got to be exciting, right? And you got a North Bay Peterborough matchup that should be intense. Where the favored team is actually the much younger team. You know, obviously over in the West, London playing Owen Sound. I mean, you know that's going to get pretty, snarly as well. So there are certainly some good matchups. But overall, I mean, yeah, you can usually throw out the 2-7 and 1-8 matchups. They're just being, you know, the couple teams, they're just there for the experience. You know, kind of like me when I went to job interviews.
You know, when you look at the playoffs and you focus on the OHL playoffs from last year, we all said, much like this year, the West is the best. But the team that came out of the West last year, the Erie Otters, were so banged up from playing so much hockey in a big heavy series against the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds in the Western Conference Final, that the Oshawa Generals, who in their defense were a powerhouse all year, really picked them apart. Do you see something similar happening this year, whether it's Erie or Sarnia, London, Kitchener, take your pick, one of those teams coming out are going to have some battle wounds on them?
It could happen like that again, especially if you get, if you got to go 6 or 7 back-to-back in the second and third rounds. And I know people say, well, you're not always playing back-to-back days. You have time to get serious. But these are still young guys, and that durability, that you have in the NHL isn't there. And as far as the teams go, I mean, like Erie, I mean, they're still, once you get past Travis Dermott and a couple of other defensemen, they're pretty young on the blue line. So if it's them, or if it's London, which is also a fairly youngish team, coming out of the West, and they play Kingston, which is kind of just, taking the Oshawa model and moved it, 2 hours down the 401 with, Stephen DeRoche and then Chad Duchesne, Roland McEwen, all, some good Jacob Paquette. I mean, they've got some size on defense, and they've got it up front with Krause and Connor McGlynn as the third line center, Juho Lamico. If Kingston gets through the Eastern Conference and they're the fresher team, we could see a bit of a reprise of that in May. But, I mean, that's a lot of dominoes toppling in a certain way, and we're just sitting here, speculating about it in the third week of March.
Nate, do you think that the Sarnia Sting get enough love? I mean, after the big trade with the Ottawa 67s, it seemed as if, this team really started to gel and attached a rocket to their back and became a different team. Do you think it was the Konechny deal that put them over the top? And now we're at the point where, we focus so much on London and Erie. Are we sleeping on Sarnia?
A little bit. I mean, I know they hadn't beaten London in forever until the last time they played. They ended up, I think, a 17 loss streak against the Knights. But their point percentage was 7.27 after the Konechny trade. And obviously, having Sam Studnicka sort of come in and be the captain, I mean, I got to appreciate what he was all about when he was here with the 67s. This is a leader, and the fact that the extra possession time a team gets from having him because he's so good on faceoffs. And certainly, I just think Sarnia, they're a little bit off the radar screen there as far as West Division teams go. They're sort of, Windsor and London get a lot of notice in the league. They're bigger markets than Sarnia, and sometimes the Sting just go a little bit, under the radar for those reasons. But also Travis Konechny, obviously eager to see what he can do. This will be the first time he's had a playoffs where he's healthy. And last year, he basically played with a separated shoulder and had 10 points in 5 games for Ottawa before he damaged it too much to keep playing.
Konechny's been outstanding in junior. It's really been a wonderful career. How close do you think Konechny is to the NHL? Philadelphia Flyers fans are eagerly awaiting your response, Nate.
Oh, geez. well, he's closer to being there than the Sixers or Phillies are to ever having a winning record. Let's put it that way. Here, I mean, in terms of being capable, it's just a matter of what the fit is for the team and the roster. But I mean, he was very close to playing games this year. I think you at least see him get some games in the fall if that's in the interest of the Flyers.
The Niagara Ice Dogs, when you look at them on paper and you look at the amount of drafted players that they have and what they've been able to do when they do pull everything together. I mean, Marty Williamson's squad there has all the potential to do real damage. They face off against the Ottawa 67s, as you all know, have played some good hockey down the stretch, youngest team, rebuilding team after the Konechny deal. Where are you at on the Niagara Ice Dogs in this year's playoffs? Because, you know, listen, maybe the answer is we don't know what to expect, but on paper it looks fantastic. Where are you at with Marty Williamson's team these days?
Well, I think I was kind of on the, you know, the in negative town with them for a while, just because it was like, when are you guys going to put this together? You know, why haven't you put this together, and so on and so forth. I know the last few times they played Kingston, and that's a potential second round opponent for them if, you know, all the chalk picks sort of break in the first round. You know, they played them tough, and they seem to get up for they're that type of team that the tougher the opponent, the better they play. And maybe that's not such a bad thing for them to play Ottawa first, because you know Jeff Brown will have the 67s ready for that. They don't, you know, on paper, they don't match up that well with Niagara. They're a bit of a younger bunch, and they sort of have to overplay, you know, the top four defensemen, particularly Jacob Middleton, quite a bit to, you know, keep up with teams, and that tends to catch up in the playoffs. But, you know, you could almost slide them into as the second favorite in the East with Kingston, of course. You know, if you're thinking of it in terms of, like, you know, betting futures, you'd have Kingston with the type of odds you'd get on the Golden State Warriors winning the NBA as far as the Eastern Conference goes. But, Niagara might be the most playoff built team, but, and maybe that's just, you know, they need a couple shots across the bow to sort of get them playing to their potential.
Almost as if they need a good scare, not unlike what Brandon got last year in the Western League in their opening matchup against the Edmonton Oilers Kings. We'll finish up on this one, Nate. Do you see a dark horse anywhere? We talk about Kingston, I mean, the Barrie Colts have a shot at it, the teams in the Midwest, the Sarnia's thing. Do you see any potential dark horses coming out? Anyone jumping out at you?
As far as the Western Conference goes, I know we haven't really mentioned Kitchener, and I know that they're sort of, the luster sort of came off the Rangers a little because they had so many injuries down the stretch, but certainly an interesting team. I feel they draw into that 4-5 series, and that's going to be a tough one just to get by that. But certainly a good defensive team when they're healthy. And, you know, I kind of like what Dale Hawerchuk always does with the Barrie Colts. Obviously, you know, you have Kevin LeBanc, Andrew Mangiapane. There's always some potential there to make a run. I mean, there's a lot of good potential matchups on. It's just like sort of looking at the NCAA tournament. It's just, you know, if this team plays this team and, you know, their styles are mesh up like this, it could be really good.
And the one thing I love about Barry, Nate, is Dale Hawerchuk's not afraid to play a wide-open, chance-for-chance game. That's what makes the Barrie Colts. Like, they're one of my favorite stops on the OHL Action Pack, because every now and then Dale just says, you know what, just go play hockey, boys. Just drop the puck, and we'll trade chances with the other team.
Like an old Smythe division game.
Right? Isn't that fun?
It is,
Nate,
it is.
Always a pleasure. We'll check back regular throughout the playoffs.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's Nate Sager of Sportsnet.ca breaking down the opening round of the OHL's playoffs. CHL playoffs, always the best time of the year. I want to thank Jonathan Briggins from Sportsnet.ca for breaking down the queue. Joey Kenward did the same from a Western Hockey League perspective. And as we do each and every week here on the podcast, lead analyst for the CHL on Sportsnet, always a big thank you to Sam Cosentino. On behalf of our producer, Sam McKee, Jeff Merrick signing off. Thanks for tuning into our playoff preview. Let the action begin. Enjoy the hockey, folks. Junior returns next week, right here, either at Sportsnet.ca or at iTunes. Enjoy the action.
You've been listening to Junior, the podcast for CHL fans. Find us at Sportsnet.ca. Even better, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
What you see is what you see is what you see is what you see, and only some will know where the ragged people go.